So we are going to do a little Christmas series now. We're going to put the Gospel of Luke on hold now till, I think, March, possibly. So I think we're doing a little series in January called The Word On, and we're looking at the Bible, how it might speak to topics today that are commonplace for discussion, and we're going to see what the Bible says about them. So we've got things like The Word On, the environment, the word on mental health. We've got a few different things that we're going to look at what the Bible may have to say about those particular topics. That'll be through January. And then in February, we're doing a kind of launching the year series. So we'll come back into Luke in March. Now we've got a little Christmas series, Prophet, Priest, and King. And Prophet, Priest, and King are basically the three roles that theologians say that Jesus fulfilled. So we're going to do prophet this week, priest, and then king on the 20th, I think it is, of December. Yeah, 20th. And that will be our last message for the year, because we're not having a service on the 27th. And we're going to have a barbecue or something like that. We'll keep you posted on the 20th. We'll have some sort of celebration. So that's where we're at. So here we are, the beginnings of another Christmas period, surrounded by endless nativity scenes with baby Jesus looking resplendent and happy at all times, and the cleanest looking stable in the history of the world. Have you noticed that about nativity scenes? They're always like sparklingly beautifully clean, which I'm sure was not the case. And so we see all of that around us, and I know many people who aren't Christians but actually really enjoy having the nativity scenes and having that kind of stuff in shop windows. But I'm not sure they entirely ever ask themselves the question, what it really means. Like, why do we have nativity scenes in shop windows? What's the point? Like, what occurred for us to do that? It's probably not normal, if you think about it, to put a stable scene in a shop window. But we do for reasons. But people often don't ask that question. So many people enjoy Christmas. They enjoy the presents. They enjoy the food, they enjoy the holiday, they enjoy all family coming together, but don't really recognize the significance of what that baby in that manger is all about. You know, I once had a Bible college student, this breaks my heart to say this, I once had a Bible college student say to me, like, it didn't really matter who died, did it? Because it could have just been a goat. It was just the sacrifice that was important, wasn't it? Now, I'm not going to bother to unpack all of the wrongness in that statement. But the point is, it matters incredibly who died, doesn't it? Jesus is unique. He's the only one who is 100% human, born of Mary, grew from a baby into a man, went through similar experiences we do without sinning, 100% human, and yet, at the same time, 100% God. In the flesh. Mathematically, even my maths tells me that makes no sense. And that's correct. That's the answer. It doesn't. It's God. And that's what God did. So Jesus is 100% human, 100% God. He is both. And that makes him unique. And he was unique in his sacrifice for us, that he could live the life that we couldn't. And yet, being God, his worth was of ultimate value, that he could pay the penalty for all of our sin. So, as I said, theologians have kind of broken up the role of Christ into three big categories: prophet, priest, and king. These are the three primary roles that in the Old Testament the Jewish people understood that you could have, the three big roles. You could be a prophet, as we read about the prophets in Scripture, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, speaking the words of God. You could be the king, pretty sweet gig if you got it, or you could be the priests, the Levites, working in the temple, offering up sacrifices before God. So you got these three major roles, and Christ was the perfect fulfillment of them all. So that's why we're going to look at how Jesus is both prophet, priest, and king. So we're starting this morning with prophet, and if I said to you, tell me about a prophet, some of you, your immediate response would be to think about a supernatural means of knowing the future. That's often what people think of, or knowing information that can't be known any other way. So I went to see a traveling prophet once, because I was really excited to learn more about this spiritual sort of charismatic giftings. And it was funny, we're in a big church service, and this prophet picked out a person in the crowd and went, "And you're here today because you don't know Jesus." And he said, "I'm a youth pastor." And he said, "And your ministry is going to be blessed." And I sat there going, "Gee, I'm not really sure this is a gift of prophecy that I'm witnessing." But that's sometimes what we think about. Of course, maybe you just think profit is about making money, you know? You're either in the black or in the red, so maybe that's a profit. Which maybe ties into that traveling speaker I heard. But anyway, I do believe prophecy exists today, but it's important that we understand what it is and what the role of prophet is that Jesus actually fulfilled. So we're going to have a little look now at John 8, 25 to 30. So we're going to bounce around the Bible a little bit this morning. If you want a Bible, they're up the back on the table there. John 8, 25 to 30. John 8, 25 to 30. So they said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him." They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." As he was saying these things, many believed in him. The first important thing to see from this passage is to note that Christ as a prophet means that he did not act independently of the Trinity. I hope you see that very clearly in that text, that Jesus came by the will of the Father. The Father sent me. The Father sent me to be the sacrifice for our sin. The Father sent me to speak my words. Everything that Christ says in Scripture is according to the will of the Father. It's all according to the will of the Father. You know, it's not up to any prophet or person to give instruction or teaching that is outside of the Word of God. In this picture, what we see with Christ is, in fact, that the role of prophet is to reveal the truth of what God is saying, to speak the truth of what God is saying. So Christ in his role as prophet was the ultimate bringer of truth as he perfectly represented the Father. The role of any prophet in Scripture is to reveal the truth of what God is saying. So if we go through our biblical prophets of Ezekiel or Jeremiah or whoever it might be, their role was to proclaim the Word of God, not their own. So ultimately that's what a prophet does. They speak the truth of God's word, not on their own authority, but on authority that comes from God. The truth is, anyone today who says, "I have a word of prophecy," it must conform to the word of God, or it is not prophecy. It must conform to the word of God. It's very instructive today, I think, for many of the people out there who have said they are prophets but haven't spoken according to the word of God. If we think of Joseph Smith and Mormonism or any of these range of options out there of people who have said, "I'm a modern prophet and I'm going to alter, change, add to the word of God," they are not fulfilling the biblical role of prophet, which is to reveal the truth of God's word, which Jesus did perfectly. He was the Word in the flesh. Galatians 1:9 says, "As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you have received, let him be accursed." How's that for a strong statement? If anyone comes to you preaching differently from this, let them be accursed. Let them be cut off from God. Let them perish, basically, because they are not conforming to the word. So I hope we're getting that clear, right? The ultimate role of any prophet is to reveal the truth of God, which Jesus, who was God in the flesh, was able to say, if you have seen me, you've seen who? The Father. The perfect representation of the Father is the Son. And Jesus is the ultimate prophet because he reveals the truth. Here's the trick. Jesus alone is who we need for salvation. Jesus alone has done everything to bring us to the Father. Jesus alone has revealed to us the way to the Father, and the only way to come to the Father is through him. So anyone who would seek to add to the gospel is again a false prophet. Be it that you must speak in tongues to come to salvation. Be it that you need to live a sinless life. Be it that you must have prosperity. Whatever it is, if you add anything to the gospel, you are moving away from the truth of Jesus Christ, that he has done everything to bring us to the Father. So the role of prophet is that Jesus is the perfect representation of the truth of God's will, God's plan, God's purpose for the world. Secondly, Christ's role of prophet was not simply to bring the Father's message, but to proclaim it. I'm just going to open up to Matthew 4, verse 17. Matthew 4, 17. Very quick, simple verse. We've looked at this in Luke before. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So Jesus was an exact representation of the Father. He's part of the Trinity. He is perfect truth. Jesus is truth. But not only that, Jesus had a call to proclaim truth. We are told again and again throughout the scriptures that Jesus began to preach, that Jesus began to teach, that Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God. And I can't tell you how frustrating it is for me when people tell me, like, Jesus wasn't into theology. You know, we don't need theology, we just need to love people. Like, Jesus is the greatest theologian who ever lived. His revelation, his teaching, theology is the study of God, right? Deus, God, ology, study of. Theology is the study of God. Who revealed more of us about God than Jesus? No one. He's the ultimate theologian. So Jesus not only was truth, but he proclaimed truth. And that is also the role of a prophet. It's not just to know the truth, but it's to proclaim the truth, to speak it out, to share it, to teach others, to let others know what the truth is. So it's not enough to know, but we must proclaim. I'm just going to read a couple of quick verses just to get this in our head. So I'll read them out fast. So if you can follow along, you can. But otherwise, you can listen and look it up later. Matthew 3, 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Doesn't feel like I wrote the right one down. No. Anyway, that's good. Going to turn over to Matthew 23:33. Oh, yeah, it is. Hang on a second. Same again. I'll explain this. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how are you to escape being sentenced to hell? I'll explain these in a second. John 8, 43 to 44. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus had a message of truth to proclaim, and he was willing to stand on that truth and proclaim it regardless of whether people wanted to hear it or not. I mean, these are pretty harsh words, aren't they? You are sons of your father, the devil, and let me tell you what he's like. He's the father of lies. That's his character. That's who he is. And you're his children. That's a pretty tough, bold statement to make, isn't it? But Jesus is committed to the truth 100%, and he will proclaim it regardless of whether or not people want to hear it. From the age of 12 on, Jesus amazed people with his knowledge of the kingdom of God. And he proclaimed it willingly again and again, and sometimes even forgot that he was only supposed to only be loving and nice all of the time, but actually called people out for their sin. That's the role of a prophet, is to stand on the word of God, proclaim the truth, even when it upsets people, even when it judges the actions of people. If we go back through history and we think about Paul as a prophet proclaiming the truth of the gospel, regardless about the fact that it upset people at times, or we look at the great reformer Martin Luther proclaiming the truth of the gospel, even though it upset people sometimes. You go throughout history, and the role of a prophet is to stand on the truth of God's word and proclaim it boldly. Not to cause offense, but to call people to the truth. And it will offend some people. A commitment to the truth of God's word. Of course, Christ's commitment to the truth eventually led to his murder. As he upset enough people, challenged their power, challenged their false gods, challenged their false idols, and they didn't respond all that nicely. A standing on the truth of God's word. Now, it seems a far cry sometimes from what can be seen as prophecy today, which is always this kind of uplifting kind of, you're going to be blessed, you're going to be fulfilled, things are going to be wonderful, things are going to be great. But prophecy in Scripture is primarily concerned with calling people back to repentance, to the truth of who God is and the impact that should have on our lives. Calling people to turn away from sin and give them their lives to God. Yeah, this is what Jesus did, and this is the cornerstone of prophecy today, to stand on God's word, know it, proclaim it, and call people back to a life that honors Jesus. That's what we're talking about. That's the role that Jesus did perfectly. Now, of course, it's also true that Christ's role of prophet included knowing future events. And knowing things that he had no other way of knowing. And that is an aspect of prophecy, that God reveals truth to you. So I'm going to look at Luke 19, 28 to 35, which is a little snapshot of a period of time in the future when we hit Luke 19. Luke 19, 28 to 35. And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, in which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent away and found just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it." One example of many where Jesus clearly knows what is going to happen, where Jesus has a supernatural awareness of what is taking place. You can go to the great prophetic passages of Matthew 24 and 25, where great end time stuff, where Jesus is talking about in a prophetic sense about what is going to occur. In short, Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God and that salvation was at hand. And he showed the truth of his words by the miracles he performed and by knowing supernatural events. You would expect to see the same in prophecy today. Just to get us used to what prophecy today should be about. Messages about the coming wrath of God against sin. Messages about that salvation is in Christ. Messages for Christians that we will be judged according to how we live for Christ. Messages that call us back on track to the Word of God. We would expect to be challenged in our faith, challenged in our walk continually by the truth of God's Word. We need to hear words that will challenge us to live a life honoring to God, to live a life worthy of our call, to live a life that would have Jesus say to us one day, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's primarily the role of a prophet, to call people back to God. And I hope you can see clearly that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of that role, to call people back to God. And Christ is still fulfilling his role of prophet today. He still has that role today. So I'm going to open up to John chapter 16. Like I said, we're bouncing around far more than usual this morning. That's okay. John 16, 12 to 15. John 16, 12 to 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So here we've got sort of a picture of Jesus saying, I only declared the will of God and I only said the things of God and I declared the truth of the Father. And then Jesus says, I will send the Holy Spirit and he will only declare to you the things that I have told him. It's the Trinity, right? The Spirit perfectly represents Jesus. Jesus perfectly represents the Father. They all declare the truth of the Trinity of who God is. Christ is still actively teaching the church through the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit perfectly represents the things that Jesus said. So Christ is still actively leading the church. Christ is still actively teaching the church through the ministry of the Spirit who perfectly represents him. Okay? So they all, like, as you've seen me, you've seen the Father, said Jesus. As you see the Spirit, you see Jesus. It's the Trinity. They are all equally God. So the role of the Spirit is still active in equipping and teaching the church today. And really, that's kind of where I want to bring this final sort of major point here in this message is the role of prophecy of Christ is still active in the church all of the time as the Spirit works in the church to present the truth of Christ to change our lives. That is effectively a major role of prophecy. So the last passage we're going to look at together, huge one, which I want us to get. This is a critical point. Zero in on this, forget everything else I've spoken about, that's fine, but zero in on this, okay? So we're going to go to Ephesians 4, 11 to 14. Ephesians 4, 11 to 14. Just waiting, make sure everyone's there. Ephesians 4, 11 to 14. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes." So much of the future of this church depends on that passage. God gave us the leadership of the church to do what? Primarily, equip the saints for ministry. Who are the saints? Yeah, Josh, you guys, right? The church is the saints. That's who you are. So the role of those who now would speak the truth of God's word, who are representing Jesus by proclaiming his words, not their own, their role is to equip the saints for the task of ministry, to grow them in their knowledge of God so they won't be deceived by all of the false teachings and false doctrines and lies that come across their way, but to grow you in the knowledge of God, expand your mind and your view of God so that you can stand on the truth of the gospel and get out there and make a difference in this community and in this world. That's the role. I love this quote from Ed Stetzer. "Pastor, the best thing you can do for the people in your church is to stop doing for them what God has called them to do." Best thing you can do is stop doing what God has called them to do. The reason I said the future of this church depends on this so much is we do not want to go down the path, which used to be very common, where everyone sort of employed a pastor to do the work of the church and everyone sat by and kind of watched them and critiqued them and celebrated them and kind of went, you know, you're the hands and the feet and the rest of us watch. That is not the church. That is not what the church is meant to be in any way, shape or form. If I am called to this role in any capacity, it's to equip the saints for ministry, which is you. And not only that, don't get me wrong, it's not that I get to sit there and crack a whip either and go, you know, you guys minister and I'm going to sip pina coladas on the beach, but like I will be engaged too. I will be involved as well. And hopefully you can see that I am. So, but we're in this together as the body. It's the main reference in Christ to what it means to be the church is that we are a body and each part, each person has a part to play in the body. And that is this church. Everyone engaged, everyone involved. Prophets and teachers help explain and deepen your understanding of the Word of God, to grow your understanding, to grow your character, to grow your love, and then you carry it out. You know, traditionally, in Baptist churches that I came from, the sermon has kind of held the central part of the service. And I actually think that's right. You know, we do gather here to worship. We do gather here to fellowship and hang out. We do gather here for many of those things. But ultimately, we gather here to know God and know him more and glorify him with our lives. And how do we do that? Through the systematic study of his truth, his word that he has given us. And that's why we give it this prominent place, because not that we want to celebrate our intellectualism, not that we want to sit there and go, in the Greek, but so we can actually know who God is, draw closer to him, worship him deeper, and let it change the way we live. Let it change the way we love. Let it change the way we will make a difference in this community. We have the Great Commission in the Scripture. And I think really this church should be, our expectation to, should be to come together to be equipped for the role of going into the world, baptizing and teaching people and making disciples out of people. That's really our expectation, that we come together to be equipped for the role of taking out the gospel in your life. As you come here week by week, you should be growing in the truth, saturated in the truth of God's word, encouraged by your fellowship with the saints, drawn closer to God by your worship, so that through the week you go out into the world and you bring the truth of the kingdom of God to people, equipped for the task of ministry. growing in the knowledge of God to enable you to minister. The last sort of point to make, which ties into that completely, is Jesus said in John 14:9, "Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father?" You know, Jesus taught and proclaimed the Father's will completely, 100% perfectly, in a way that we're never going to do. But Jesus did it completely perfectly and was able to say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus was the truth made whole, made in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was Jesus. Okay? So he is truth made in the flesh. But nonetheless, there was no disparity in the role of Jesus as a prophet between the message proclaimed and the life that he lived. No disparity whatsoever. His life completely supported the truth of his teaching on the kingdom of God. I want to say to us all that as Christ leads this church, and in a sense we are called to be like Christ, and we in part, each of us, fulfill the role of prophet as we proclaim the truth of the kingdom of God. As you stand on the truth of God's word and you share it with others, in a sense, you are fulfilling that role of Christ as prophet. And we need to make sure that as much as possible, our life supports our message. Now, we won't do it as perfectly as Jesus. Anyone who says they're without sin is a liar, says the Apostle John. None of us are sinless in this room, but we need to be moving forward in honoring God. We need to be growing in honoring God. We need to be growing in representing God, that our life would support our message. As we proclaim the truth, it does absolutely no good to proclaim the truth of the kingdom of God and then act dishonorably when it comes to financial dealings. To proclaim that you are a follower of Christ and then slander and backstab people at work. Like, your life will contradict the truth of the message that we proclaim. We must live out and support the truth of the message through our conduct. That is part of the role that we are called to in Christ, as well as we grow like him in that capacity as prophet, that we would let our lives back up the message that we speak. I love that passage which says that we are to shine like stars in a crooked and depraved generation. Such should be our conduct, that we shine like stars in a world of depravity, in a world of darkness at times, that we would stand out as people of integrity, stand out as people who can be trusted, stand out as the kind of people that are a vault. You tell them something, you know that it's locked away, right? That's the character that we are meant to have, as it supports our message that we proclaim. At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of the Word of God. When we see the nativity scene, what we're really celebrating is God come in the flesh to be the ultimate proclaimer of the truth of the kingdom of God. Really, when you see that picture in the manger, I think what you need to think of is truth. Like, really, that's what Jesus did. He came and proclaimed the Father. Because we've seen Jesus, we've seen the Father. Because we've seen Jesus, we have a way to the Father. Because we've seen Jesus, we are becoming like Jesus. Because we've seen Jesus, he is the guarantee of our eternity. Like, when we see Jesus, we see truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is the ultimate prophet because he is the ultimate truth. But as we are being made into the image of Jesus, we too are called to proclaim the kingdom and in our own way fulfill that prophecy of proclaiming the truth. And I pray this Christmas for us as a church that we simply grow in that role, grow in that capacity, grow in our knowledge of God, grow in our love of God, that we could bring the truth of God to people who desperately need him this Christmas. That's the call on our lives. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you that you are true. Lord, everything you said is truth. Everything you did revealed to us the character of the Father, the truth of the Father. Lord, we thank you in Christ we have the ultimate understanding of who truth is, Lord. It's you. And your word, Lord, that you gave us to know you, to have truth revealed to us, Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you this morning. Lord, we do ask that we would grow in that knowledge of truth. Lord, that we would grow in our understanding of the character of God, that we would grow in our knowledge of who you are, Lord, so that it would make us fall more in love with you. It would change our character, change our heart. Lord, it would bring us to worship. Lord, so that we could go out and proclaim the kingdom of God, which we know, which has been revealed to us, Lord, and we would represent you as we speak and as we are your ambassadors, Lord, calling people to repentance. Lord, grow us in the truth this morning. Grow us in the truth this Christmas. Lord, we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.